Hey, it's Nola White, and this is the Nola White Podcast. Now, normally I'll have a guest on, and we'll talk about what they're an expert in, but today's episode is a little bit different. Today's guest is illustrator and author Halle Bateman, who's built a huge Instagram following for posting her drawings that comment on almost everything happening in the world today. Halle's recently released a book. It's called Directions, Really Good Advice for Getting From Here to There. And the book is less like a book and more like a journal filled with quick tidbits and sayings. Basically, if you're having a bad day and you need a quick pick-me-up, you can flip to any page in her book and find that reminder to remind yourself regardless of the bullshit life is currently throwing at you. So wipe the bullshit off your face. I don't know why the bullshit had to hit you in the face. It just did in this scenario. And turn this podcast up. Welcome to the Nola White Podcast.
Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Nola White Podcast.
Episode 26 now of the Nola White Podcast. My guest today, Halle Bateman, the author of Directions, Really Good Advice for Getting From Here to There. Welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for doing this. I thought it'd be cool if we got a little background on you first. And then I thought maybe we could just open up random pages of your book and read it and you can kind of go in depth. Is that cool? Because I love the way this book is written because it feels like if you're having like a bad day or whatever or just need some encouragement, you can just literally open up any page and there's something there for you. Maybe the right message for you. So I know you do art, you write, you do a little bit of everything. How did you get started in all of this?
So as a kid, I always wrote and draw and did all different forms of art, but I really didn't see myself as an artist. I thought of my drawings as something that, you know, I'd show my friends and they could laugh because they were so bad, like that kind of thing. And then in college, I was studying writing, and it wasn't until I took my first art class, which I only took to fulfill a requirement, that I started to realize how much I loved drawing and how drawing felt like this missing piece of my art. And I realized that, oh, illustration is a job and someone and people do that. And I ended up really becoming an illustrator for myself, for my own writing. And I actually call myself an illustrator to kind of explain how I work with words and images interwoven.
I know a lot of your stuff is very, I guess we could call it, I hate this term, but I guess we could call it kind of woke. And so you use, what I'm trying to say is I feel like you use your art and your drawings for the greater good. Was that something you just felt pressed to do? Or was that something that just kind of developed over time?
I think that the way that I love that you call it woke, that's funny. I think that the word I would almost use is like awakened. Like, okay. I think that in life, it's so easy to kind of tune out and to just sleepwalk through life and be forever focused on the future or ruminating on the past. And it can be really easy to forget that we are human beings on a planet that is spinning and we are here for this precious amount of time. And I think all my work is about waking up to that. And this book especially is about helping readers and helping myself remember, hey, you're alive.
You talk about being alive versus not alive a lot. So can you explain kind of what that means exactly?
Yeah, I use that as a way to kind of explain what this book is. I see this book as not really an advice book in the way that, you know, a lot of advice books are like, here's how to get a beach body and here's how to win friends and influence people. And I've fallen for that stuff before.
Right.
And what happens when you do get the beach body or you do, you know, your dream comes true, guess what? You're still a human being. And there's a lot of unresolved stuff that is so much deeper. Acceptance is so much harder than striving for a false goal. So I see this book as kind of the antithesis to a typical advice book. It's not about achieving perfection. It's not even about achieving your goal. It's about finding ways to be alive, to be awakened to the world, and to participate in your life in an active way versus, I call it not being not alive, where you're just kind of dimmed down and you're kind of asleep.
And so the book is written almost like, it's almost like post-it notes, like ripped out pieces of paper that you just like hand wrote notes on. And this really covers a wide variety of different types of advice and things of that nature. So I'm just opening to random pages. I have nothing in here is marked, none of
that. Let's do it.
So the first one I see is let other people be other people. Explain that.
That is a big one. I mean, isn't it so common to, you'll be just in the course of your life, like meet someone who approaches like everything so different than you would. And there's this urge, I think especially with our families and stuff, there's this urge to kind of correct people and to like, well, you're not doing it the way I would do it. So like, I got to show you what's the right way. Mm. And I think that this idea of let people be other people is like, yeah, let people do what they want to do and let and stay in your own lane. And I think so much of the time when we're all up in arms about how other people aren't doing things the way we would, that's usually our own baggage pouring out of us.
Right. And you can't control how somebody else reacts to you. So if you're being, you know, your true authentic self and somebody reacts, be it positively or negatively, that's not on you. And that's what that kind of said to me as well.
It's a pretty enlightened view when you're able to do that.
The next page I opened was when it's good, try to enjoy it. Things are allowed to be good. This is something that anxiety sufferers such as myself have a tough time with. And so this is a page I'm actually going to mark this because I probably will need to read this more times than not, because even when things are going good, you're like, all right, things are good. They're going to be bad again soon. So that's what that meant to me. So you're the author. So you explain it.
Wow. That is one of my favorite directions in the book. And it became more of a favorite after quarantine happened and after, you know, this last year and change, there's just been so much to be miserable about. And I don't know about you, but I've found myself having a lovely moment. Maybe I'm like drinking coffee in the morning with my dog and I'm actually feeling good. And then suddenly you kind of remember everything and you feel guilty for feeling happy. Mm. And this direction is really like, yeah, there, good things still exist. There are like baby birds hatching. It's springtime. Like not everything is bad. And for us to ignore the good is really such a shame and so imbalanced. And so just to allow ourselves to feel those things.
I think I'm very guilty of even when things are good, not taking in that moment. And so that's something that I personally really resonate with. Go left, then right, then down the middle, eat the whole pan of brownies. Another anti-Beachbody sentiment from you. Explain that.
Oh, yeah. I was one of the first ones I wrote, and I actually suffered from an eating disorder that I was working through and in recovery from as I wrote this book. And that one and a few other ones felt so good to write and felt so radically opposed to the way that we police our bodies in this society. And so just the idea, like I have another one that's like, it's okay to emotionally eat as long as you proclaim out loud, I am emotionally eating. Like, and I love that. And it's so much easier to go through life if you're giving yourself permission and you're realizing it's just brownies. That's okay. It's okay to eat brownies.
Right. Seek therapy. That's a pretty easy one, but go for it, because I think there's still stigmas around therapy that need to be lifted. And we all, regardless, we all go to doctors for our physical body, even if it's just for a checkup. We all should probably go to therapy, even if it's just a checkup for our mind. So your turn.
You do not need to be in crisis. You do not need to have something big and traumatic happen to go to therapy. It is traumatic just to be a person, and you do need therapy. And it is a gift, not just to yourself, but to those around you, to seek therapy, because you will be a better communicator. You will be more self-aware. You will be a more awakened version of yourself if you have someone to talk to who's not in your life?
Radio off, which I kind of find offensive because I'm a lifelong radio guy. Radio off, window open.
Well, I certainly mean no offense. I do write that as an avid radio listener and a podcast listener and someone who kind of has things going on in my head all day long. And that was written about the moment where you actually realize, like, oh, I can turn off the news. I can turn off this, whatever it might be, kind of, you realize you're overstimulated. Like, we drive around in our errands and we're just listening to absolutely devastating news like all day long. And then you flick it off, you roll down the window. It's a nice day. Like, that's kind of what that's about.
Last year, after a tough 2020, I'd been driving like luxury cars, keeping up with the Joneses for a long time. And I got rid of my luxury car and I bought a Jeep Wrangler. And my favorite thing that I've done with mine in the past, probably, you know, 5 years that I've bought, my favorite purchase, because when it's a nice day, I pop off the roof and there's just nothing like it. And I don't need to be listening to anything. It's just the sun is beating down on my head and it feels great. So I agree. I was giving you a hard time about the radio off thing, but I agree with you there. Let your default be something besides stressed. I like that.
I mean, I think that our conversations are so often, how are you? Oh, I'm tired. I'm stressed. There's a lot of default. And that one arrived when I was planning, my husband and I were planning our wedding and everyone kept asking us, how are you doing? You must be so stressed. And I found myself wanting to say yes, because they were asking me in that way. But I was like, no, I'm having a nice time. I'm planning my wedding to the person I love. Like, I'm actually having a nice time. But I think there's sort of a glorification of stress and busyness. And if you can consciously resist that and remind yourself, just because everyone else is doesn't mean you have to be. And you might just be telling yourself a story that you could dismiss and realize you have a pretty good life.
I think especially with things like weddings, which are supposed to be like enjoyable days that we remember for the rest of our lives, a lot of times they do get stressful, and maybe they shouldn't be, because it's supposed to be a fun, enjoyable moment. And I think that's kind of hard to remember in the process, but a reminder is nice, and that's what your book is full of. It's full of reminders. So let's keep pushing through here. If you find yourself obsessing about everything you don't have, give something away to someone who needs it more.
Yeah. Like, if you are poverty level in America, you are still in the richest portion of humanity. If you have a roof over your head and you have food, you're still, as far as the world, the scope of the world goes, you are doing great. There are people who have no food, who have no medication, who live on cents a day and need very, very basic things. Everything that you take for granted in America for most of us is an absolute luxury for people the world over. And I think it's important to remember you talked about luxury cars. It's kind of our obsession to look at who has more and turn around and look at where you actually sit in the world's wealth. Like I found a website recently. It's called You Versus Billionaires, and you can enter your income and it can show you the scale of how your wealth compares to that of billionaires and how the wealth of people in the poorest countries in the world compares to yours, and kind of helps like contextualize that stuff. And I just think that's a really important thing to remember, that you're, even if you consider yourself like, I think a lot of people are really hesitant to be like no one wants to say that they're rich, but most of us in America, even if you're lower middle class, you're rich in terms of the world. And I think it's important to remember that.
It's hard to get out of that mindset of everything not being about money, because that's what we're told from the time that we're kids, is you go and you get a good education. Well, why do I need to get a good education? So you can get a good job. Well, why do I need to get a good job? So you can have a lot of money. And that's to get out of that is tough. I'm battling it now myself, trying to get out of that mindset. But it's an uphill battle, because I mean, you've been programmed your entire life, especially in this country. I did an episode of my podcast a couple months ago with a lady named Gabriella Lindsay, who up and moved her family to Mexico and then Antigua. And that was the whole premise of the conversation, was just about how to enjoy life more and not be so worried about money all the time. All right, so if at first you park badly, re-park. Something. I'm a horrible driver, so I feel that in the pits of my soul.
Honestly, some of these are incredibly self-explanatory. and it's just like, it's very practical advice. Just re-park. Don't be a jerk. Like, go ahead and try again. It's okay. You messed it up the first time. You could admit to that.
And I think that also that could be kind of a metaphor for everything in life, right? Like if you mess something up at first, just try it again. All right. Yeah. Keep a list of names you like. You never know when you'll need to name something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, how fun is it, even if you are not a musician at all, to like come up with band names with your friends? I think that there's just so many activities like that that are just like a nice thing to play with, even if you don't know if you're going to use it.
All right. The last one we're going to do in this section is that sneaking suspicion that everything you make sucks. Set it on fire and keep making stuff.
Yep. This book, every time I sat down to write directions, I would cut all my paper. I would get my ink ready. I would smoke a little weed. I would like go through my process and I would start to write, and every single time, every cell of my body would be like, stop writing, stop writing. This is bad. This is bad. You've got to stop. It's embarrassing. What are you talking about? It happened so much that I just knew to blow right through it. It's like stop sign from the universe that you've got to just drive through. Like it's you, unless you're some kind of superhuman confident person, you're gonna encounter doubts when you're embarking on anything creative. And I really think that the power of, and like the secret to making anything, is to just learn to disregard that voice.
So out of everything that you wrote in this book, what was your favorite?
One of my favorites that's just kind of a daily affirmation is, do not be embarrassed, not even of that, not even of that. And that's like, I mean, how humiliating is it to exist? It's just, everything is embarrassing. It's just like, there's so, ever since I was a kid, like, it was just like, everything is humiliating. And you can either ruminate on that for your entire life, or you can just decide not to be embarrassed.
And my last question for you before I let you out of here, you cover a wide range of topics, both in this book and on your Instagram page. Which topic or subject are you most passionate about?
Exploring existence and exploring, like I've jokingly referred to myself as an emotional journalist. Like I'm investigating feelings. I'm interested in this right now. This.
I love it. The book is great. And if you're having a bad day, if you're having a good day, whatever, it's got something in there for you that you can just read day to day. Directions, really good advice for getting from here to there. Halle Bateman, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Halle Bateman. Make sure you check out her book, Directions, really good advice for getting from here to there. Follow her on Instagram while you're at it as well, at Halle T.H. Bates. Follow me as well at DoleWhite101, D-O-L-E-W-I-T-E 101. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Make sure whatever platform you're listening on, you subscribe, follow, whatever they call it. If you're listening on Apple, hit them 5 stars. Go and give me that 5-star review. It only takes literally a few seconds. Only one episode next week due to the holiday. It's going to drop Thursday. My guest will be Eric Moses, the very first Black president and CEO of a NASCAR track. He'll be on to talk about diversifying NASCAR. If by any miracle Julio Jones happens to be listening to the podcast, quick note for you, Julio, please don't leave the Falcons. We have so very little. Falcons fans, we've had so very little to celebrate over, I don't know, our entire existence. You leaving will just rip our hearts out. There's my plea to Julio Jones. Anyway, back Thursday, brand new episode. Thank you for checking me out. I'm gone.